Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, we'll recap one of the busiest weeks of the year, busiest weekends of the year in particular, on the A-State campus. Basketball, baseball, tennis, bowling, all at home. Track and field and women's golf also in action. We're going to recap all of it, but want to start with hoops as the A-State men began a four-game homestand Wednesday against Southern Miss. It was good to be home after four in a row on the road, and you could tell that the guys were definitely glad to be back. You hear coaches all the time talk about, hey, we got to put together 40 minutes, and even in wins, maybe there's 30 good minutes in there, but I thought that was as close to a 40-minute performance as we've seen all season long, just dominant in a 101-67 win.
Reminded me of like the women's game, the Education Day game against Georgia State. We're just pretty quick into it. You could tell in this particular case, Southern Miss would have been happy being somewhere else, would have probably signed up for a running clock at one point. and I mean, it's just what it is, where some days you're the windshield and some days you're the bug. And on this day, Arkansas State was certainly the windshield.
Largest margin of victory ever for an A-State team in a Sun Belt Conference game with the 34-point win. And it really started, you know, we talk about 101 points, but it started on the defensive end. We forced 17 turnovers, but 10 of those came in the first 10 minutes of the ball game. Only turned it over five times. It was 26-7 as far as points off turnovers, and Red Wolves also just dominating on the glass, 44-31. I thought one of the more incredible things in this game was A-State didn't allow an offensive rebound from Southern Miss the first 34 minutes of the game. Man, that would have been cool if you would have been able to go a full 40 minutes holding the other team to zero offensive rebounds. But just impressive all around. Outscored them in the paint, 48-24. There were six players in double figures. Kobe Julian with 20 points. And, man, Terrence Ford's having a heck of a season. 9 points. He had a career high 11 assists and 6 rebounds in that game. And 15th straight home victory. At that point, Wednesday night, it was really cool to say that we were tied for the longest home win streak in the entire country.
Yeah, that one snuck up on me even. I had not even thought to look at that. I heard people talking about it. So, yeah, it was that was a neat little note.
Unfortunately, it came to an end. The home win streak did on Saturday as the Red Wolves hosted Troy. Really, really good Troy team that, you know, A-State had defeated at Troy last month. This was a game where the Red Wolves came out, got off to a good start, in particular on defense. Even though they weren't shooting it, just lights out in the first half, they were playing really well defensively, doing a great job in the first half on the boards. At halftime, the Red Wolves were out-rebounding Troy 26-12, a +14 margin on the glass, and you know, A-State was up 4 at the intermission. But in the second half, Troy was actually +8 on the glass, and they were able to come back and get the win 71-70, and credit to them. They played great.
Big win for them. They got new shirts over it, apparently, I guess. I saw
they that. Did?
I saw on their social media, it seemed like they had new shirts printed up for getting that win.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that big of a deal.
You
do that for conference championships.
It's big,
right?
I mean, it is a big. I mean, hey, big, obviously, in the standings, big win. They came in front of a big crowd, and young got a win.
Yeah. And look, Isaiah Nelson was great. 14 points, 14 rebounds, and a couple of block shots. It was his third double-double of the season, 12th of his career. But again, A-State falling just short. And going into these final 2 weeks of the regular season, and we got a four-way tie for first place in the Sun Belt. The Red Wolves in a tie with Troy, South Alabama, and James Madison. So buckle up. It's going to be fun these final couple of weeks as these teams fight for a regular season Sun Belt championship and obviously seeding at stake in the conference tournament.
Seeding and then obviously the impacts of the number of games you have to play. A lot of stuff to be determined in these last four. And hey, I guess that's what you sign up for, right? What you want is to be playing. I mean, certainly you're going to be either way, but now no doubt be playing games that matter down the stretch. Every one of them is going to matter an awful lot. Coaches around the league are having conversations with their players about keeping the main thing, and handling your business and don't get caught watching the scoreboard of other games.
Yeah, you got to obviously take care of
your business. Handle your business and then go see what everybody else did.
Definitely got to talk about the crowd Saturday. It was a blackout. Did a great job promoting it, getting the word out, and obviously it was another nationally televised game, and to have a crowd of over 7,000 was really, really neat. It was the largest since 2004, so you're going back 21 seasons, the last time we had a crowd that big. And I did look at the attendance numbers this morning in the league. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
Number one in the league with 5,088 fans per game is Arkansas State.
Hey.
Old Dominion in second at 5,085 fans a game. So we're plus three on ODU with still two
now,
home games left.
What do they have the last week? Because the problem is, like, you know, we've got to make our hay this week, right? I mean, and then it's out of our hands.
And I'll tell you what is coming up. And obviously, you know, there's so much at stake these final 2 weeks. You've got South Alabama coming in here on Wednesday, 7 o'clock tip time for that one, and then Senior Day, Saturday at 2 against ULM.
Hey, Old Dominion's got two at home this week, and they're on the road next week.
All right, so their last two home games.
Right, they can't, like,
this week.
Neither team's
well.
Going to get the opportunity to kind of see what the number to beat is. Either way, if I'm Old Dominion, I'd have been thinking the same thing about, if we're at home this week and Arkansas State's next week, they're just going to say whatever it is they need to say to get higher. So everybody's in the same boat. Both teams play two at home this week. They're on the road next week. So I guess that conference championship will be decided not on the court but in the stands this week.
Yeah, that'd be neat to be able to win that title.
Yeah, I put out
attendance
last
champion.
Week. And I wasn't really thinking necessarily in terms of getting to the lead necessarily already, but I knew the number was going to take us to get to a 5,000 average by Saturday night. I had no doubt that by the time the season was over, we were getting to a 5,000 average. But I went and looked to see what that number was going to take to get us there by Saturday. And looked, and you know, in the history of the Convo / First National Bank Arena, they averaged 5,000 or more. And a lot of those times that number was up over 6,000 the first seven seasons. And then there were two seasons that dipped below that. Mm-hmm. And then it went back over again. It was over for eight straight years. But then when it dropped below 5,000, it's now been 20 seasons under that number. And so now to do that and have a chance to have, you know, the highest attendance in the league, I knew we had something good going. I was hearing the numbers over the course of the week. The big X factor was going to be the students, because we didn't know how they'd be on a Saturday night. We hadn't played a Saturday night home basketball game.
Yeah.
And I thought they turned out well.
I thought so, too.
Appreciate them. Had some Greek organizations out there that were there in good numbers and making noise. And the naked guys were there. And so, yeah, they did a good job. Crowd was awesome. And obviously, we need it two more times this week.
All right, let's talk about the women.
Yeah.
They played their final two home games this past week. They kept it rolling. Defeated Southern Miss Wednesday, 74-53. A game where they were plus 10 in turnovers and outscored Southern Miss 25-0 in those points off turnovers, which I can't remember a team pitching a shutout in that category before. And the Red Wolves also plus 17 on the glass. And when you're that good in those two categories, turnovers and rebounds, it usually ends up in a dominant win. And in this case, that's what we saw.
Yeah. Probably, you know, maybe a little slow at times or slow getting out of the gates, but they got going. And if I'm trying to think about, if I remember right, it feels like this game, because the two are running together a little bit, felt like they had two slow, odd number quarters and two really big even number quarters. But I know what you got up next. I'll say what I do remember correctly is that Mimi McAllister was a key contributor here.
17 points, 8 boards, 4 assists. She was fantastic. And then another
night where Crystal Rose was working through some foul trouble. So they needed Mimi McAllister to step up like that.
And she did. And another note from Wednesday's win, it was the 50th career win for Destiny Rogers. So what a season it's been. They kept it rolling Saturday on Senior Day against Texas State. Red Wolves winning that one 72-62. Zion Shannon, former podcast guest, with 16 points in that one. Kennedy Montu with a double-double, 11 points and 12 boards. And this A-State women's team, who was picked 13th out of 14 teams in the Sun Belt, is now 13-1 in conference play with 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, and they're on the road these last two. I mean, they've been dealt a tough hand there, but should be playing with a ton of confidence. I've seen this team play a lot in person or watching them and got to see the game at Arizona State and seen, obviously, all the home games and watch. And people would come ask me about them that maybe hadn't got to see them as much. Like, if you ask me right now who's the best player on this team, I could not give you an answer.
Really, it could be anybody, any night.
And it's amazing, but that's the way they're built. And what I keep going back to is it's exactly the way Coach Dez said it was going to go. I can remember her telling, we may not have anybody that averages double digits, but we may go nights where 5 people score double figures. We're not going to have anybody average 20. We're going to have 3 or 4 kids that can score 20.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that she said this team would do, once they got enough time to get it figured out, it's gone exactly the way she said it was going to go. I don't mean about the results. I mean about the way they were going to play. We're going to press all night long. Winning, losing doesn't matter. We're going to sub over and over and over. And all this stuff she said, it's gone exactly the way she said it was going to go.
You know, most conferences, you're sitting at 13-1 and you're in first place, though. Unfortunately, James Madison just won't lose.
And there's one team in the league, you know, on the other side, you randomly don't play. And for Arkansas State, this year happens to be James Madison.
They just might meet here in a couple of weeks in Pensacola. But the Red
That'd
Wolves will, as you said, be on the road this week. Early start time on Thursday. Thursday morning at 10 a.m., they'll take on Old Dominion. And then Saturday at noon, tip time, as they play at Coastal Carolina.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. The baseball team opened the season this past weekend against Morehead State. First games of the Mike Silva era, first games of the new Slayton family field, and that brand new video board out there as well. And before we talk about the games themselves, you know, I was on the radio call. You were on the ESPN Plus call Friday, and I don't know what was going through your head, but looking down at that field after all the years and all the games we've watched out there at the time, and to see that the other day, it was just really, really cool. And that's what's going through my mind the entire time is, this is actually real. I'm actually looking at this beautiful turf and that video board out there, and it's like a completely different place. And that's exactly what Will French told us, you know, last week when he was in here on the podcast. He and Case and Tollett having that conversation where they say they felt like they transferred schools, but you kind of get it now.
Yeah. I guess it's appropriate, maybe, karma, whatever you call it, but had it not been for Slayton Family Field, there'd have been zero baseball played at Arkansas State this weekend.
Agreed, because even that Friday game that we did get in, there was a lot of rain earlier in the week. It would have been really, really hard to play on the old field and be in time for Friday. And after all the rain Saturday, there's no way we would have played.
You're hoping
Sunday.
It's dry by this weekend.
But it was a non-issue. Yes, it rained all day Saturday, but they rescheduled.
At one point, they were going to play Saturday night.
Yeah.
Knowing it was raining all day.
So, yeah, the turf has already paid big dividends because you're right. We're either not playing or we would have been looking for somewhere else to play.
Right, yeah.
This past weekend. And the way they did it, they postponed Saturday. They still played on time Sunday, and then we're recording this Monday morning, but, yeah, playing the series finale Monday at 1, so getting all three games in for that series.
And I wouldn't have thought, and even going into the weekend, I didn't know stretching to Monday was an option, or I would have had a different opinion. But I did not feel very good about the prospects of playing three games anyway. But I was concerned, and honestly, Coach Silva was too. When you started looking at the forecast and stuff, that there was a real chance you were going to get to Sunday and it was going to flat be too cold to play.
We're going to talk about that. I do want to talk about Friday first because it was the season opener. And I thought it was a good college baseball game.
I did too, yeah.
It ended up being a 4-3 Morehead State victory in 11 innings, but I thought there were a lot of really positive things, and I thought it started on the bump. It was great to see Colin Maloney, who started a lot on the weekend last year as a true freshman. He got the opening day start and was fantastic. He went 5 1/3 scoreless innings.
Struck out the side in the first. Got three guys out without the ball getting off the infield in the second.
Yeah, just worked quick. Had a ton of confidence, it seemed. And it was great to see him go out there and deal the way he did. It was
I
great.
Thought in the third he was about to pull a Satchel Paige and just go send the outfielders out back to the dugout. Tell him, we don't need y'all out here.
Jake Henry Williams with the first home run at the new look Tomlinson Stadium. He crushed one.
He did.
Would have been out in the old configuration.
So we had that, we were having that conversation, Todd Baumgartner and I mean, he smoked that ball.
Yeah.
So the question was, does it get out of the old one or does it hit off the wall? Either way, I mean, it doesn't change the fact it was smoked. And if it's high enough, it was getting out of the old one.
Yeah.
Because it was a line drive.
It was a laser beam. And great to see Jake Henry. He worked so hard. Able to get the opening day start as the DH and able to get his first career home run. Now, that made it 2-0 in the fourth. It stayed that way till later in the game. Morehead State able to force extra innings and had a golden opportunity there in the bottom of the 10th with the bases loaded and nobody out. They pull the infield in. We hit a couple of balls. Grounded to second. They get the force out at home both times, and then a 6-4 fielder's choice ends the threat, and you're thinking, ooh, man, we missed a chance. And then Morehead State comes back in the top of the 11th. They hit a two-run homer, and they go on to win.
And the interesting thing is, all right, when his base is loaded one out, right, you know they're pulling the infield in with nobody out because there's no reason not to. They've got to make that play at home, and they do. But with one out, you've got a choice.
Yeah,
but because we had a speedy batter up there, and they didn't think they could turn that double play probably, they kept them drawn in again and ended up being the right call.
Yeah, it was, and credit to them. They're able to get the opening day win. Now, after the day off on Saturday, came back Sunday, and you mentioned the cold. I've called a lot of games, and I've never called one where the temperature was below freezing at first pitch. It was 30 degrees, and I don't think it got above 31 during the game on Sunday. The wind chill was 18. You asked the question, you know, how cold is too cold? I don't know. If we play in that, I would think anything colder than that would keep them off the field, but that was the coldest game I think I've ever seen at Arkansas State.
I would agree, but it's interesting because – That was some of the, and I don't mean when I say conversation, not like this anything official. One day I was standing around on the field with Coach Silva, and we were talking about the weather, and you know, and he knew that cold was coming in behind, and just worried about it being too cold to play. And obviously, you know, both coaches get a say in that. Heck, Morehead State agreed to stick around another day to pretty much play in it again on Monday. So apparently the players were able to get through it okay.
That pitching performance just from the entire staff on Friday was really impressive, but even more so on Sunday. We had the big left-hander Jack Nelson get his first start as a Red Wolf, and man, that kid can deal. He went 4 2/3. He struck out 10, was just dominant, didn't allow a run, and then Cole Turner, Gavin Galley, Carson Keithley all pitched after that. Everybody terrific. They combined for 17 total strikeouts on the day. That was the most in a single game since a win over Mississippi Valley State back in 2020. So you're going back 5 years.
And double digits Friday too, right?
13 in that game. So 30 Ks through the first two games of the year for this staff. So that was extremely encouraging to see. And then it's a 1-0 Morehead State lead going into the bottom of the seventh. And one of the new guys, Patrick Inskoff, Patty, able to get his first hit as a Red Wolf, and it happened to leave the yard. It was a 3-run shot and ended up being the game winner as the Red Wolves go on to win it 4-1. Great to see them bounce back and get the first win in the Mike Silva era.
It's funny that of all things is a 3-run homer, because how many times we said the expression about the old configuration of the ballpark is just, it's not a place where you can play for the 3-run homer. And lo and behold, he might have hit it out of Yellowstone Park. But it's just funny that one of the big hits happens to be a 3-run homer.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program.
Back one more time here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com.
Before we shift gears here, let's go back to baseball for just a second, because you're talking about sitting there watching the new field, the new video board. But, if you haven't been there to see it, and I know a lot of you haven't yet, there's more to it than that. The dimensions are different. The angles are different. Our players are learning new stuff, but so are we. We saw on Friday a wild pitch go through the catcher's leg for Morehead State, but come slamming off that wall now and almost come right back to it. Yep. You got the different angles with the padded wall cutting in behind first and third, and different amounts of foul space. There's more to it that we all kind of have to learn together than just being on turf and having a new video board.
Yeah, a lot less foul territory. And when you go out, you see all the dirt work down the right and left field lines. You remember the old Barton's baseball deck? Well, they're redoing it now. They're stretching it out because they got more room to work with. So there's still some work being done, and there's going to continue to be work getting done. But it is just aesthetically so much better to go out there and watch a game right now. Indoor track and field was busy again this past weekend. They were at different events in Nashville, Birmingham, and Boston. Lots of great finishes, including Jacob Pyatt. We're talking about him all the time. He shattered his own school record again in the 5,000 meters. Broke his old school record by 17 seconds.
That's a lot.
Carly Pujol was a winner in the pole vault. Our old friend Colby Eddowes, former podcast guest, able to win the 60-meter hurdles, and Chris Boyd winning the shot put, and he recorded the fourth best mark in program history in that event. And that really was the final tune-up before the Sun Belt Indoor Championships. A week from now, they'll be in Birmingham trying to collect some more hardware.
Do what they do.
How about the tennis team? They were at home on Friday at the Trim Gym. They hosted Southeast Missouri. They win again. They defeat SEMO 4-1. Sujay Lama's team now 6-3 on the season. They're going to be in Nacogdoches, Texas, coming up this weekend. They'll play Stephen F. Austin and Lamar on Saturday. And
so it is, yeah.
I can't imagine.
If you're driving to that match now, be sure you drive to Nacogdoches, not Natchitoches. You've been in the wrong state.
Probably not as much tennis being played in Natchitoches on Saturday either.
It'll be two teams you don't know.
Women's golf started their spring season. They were in Palm City, Florida, playing in the UNC Greensboro Invitational and had a good finish. They finished 6th out of 18 teams in that event. Another podcast guest turning in a great performance, our buddy Ashley Kim. She was 3rd individually, and that was good enough to earn her Sunbelt Conference Player of the Week honors.
Yeah, I don't like Ashley Kim.
Spend any amount of time around her.
I don't like her.
It's easy to like Ashley Kim.
I said I don't.
Well, why not?
Come here. Remember, well, why'd you start playing golf? Well, I thought I was gaining weight during COVID. That was
she started
that was
playing,
less than 5 years ago.
She started playing in 2020.
Number one, she ain't big as a minute, and she thought she was gaining weight. And so she started playing golf during COVID and was shooting under par the next year. So I don't like Ashley Kim.
It's her 3rd Sunbelt Player of the Week honor, and that girl who just started playing during COVID, certainly a contender for Sunbelt Player of the Year at this point.
Keep going.
The women's golf team currently playing a match play event in Gulfport, Mississippi. Meanwhile, the men's golf team will open up the season next Monday, February 24th. They'll be at the Lake Las Vegas Intercollegiate in Henderson, Nevada. We host that.
I believe we're either a host or a co-host. Yeah, that's our home.
How's
away
that
from
work?
Home. I don't know. It's a rare home event that my staff or I not asked to have somebody at.
Yeah, I figured
you'd
be volunteering for that one. But
yeah. I mean, this is one where, like, I think last year we completely wasted. Like, we sent somebody out there, but it was Jerry Scott. Now, you talk about a waste of somebody to send to an event in Las Vegas.
The bowling team also was in action this past weekend. It was their home event, the Midwinter Invitational. At Hijinks in Jonesboro, they finished 6th out of 18 teams. 13 of the top 17 teams in the entire nation were here for that.
That's a pretty good field.
Plenty of those teams we'll see again as the Red Wolves continue along this season. Anything else we need to talk about here?
I mean, we could have done a whole episode on crap that was going wrong behind the scenes this week. Just nothing huge by itself. It was just this collection of nonstop, it felt like, little things with electricity and electronics and just this and that and the other. And it's just, you know. So credit to everybody on our end and my staff, Will Chamberlain, and Kayla Jones, and our interns too. But those two, they do a great job. You know, I would say probably between Will and Kayla, and then Harley Singletary and her staff and facilities, those are probably the people in all of athletics who are at more events than anybody.
Absolutely.
In terms of they're at everything that's at home, and they do a great job, and I probably don't shout them out enough. So good job to them this week. And, again, just kind of being able to roll with the punches when they were coming from a lot of directions. And, hey, this week, if you're listening to this before Wednesday, stick with us. Everybody's already asking about the weather. And how it could impact things on Wednesday, I don't know. But I know this, if you get two teams and some referees in town, you probably play a basketball game.
Yeah, if South Alabama can get here, and there's no reason they shouldn't be able to get here on Tuesday, then, yeah, we're just waiting on those officials to get here and hopefully no problems.
As we're recording this, I hadn't heard about their travel, what it is, when it is. But everybody's watching the timing of the weather, and we'll do the thing that keeps everybody safe. But I guess it's pretty appropriate. This was not necessarily the plan, but it's a heck of a night to call it a whiteout.
Okay.
But that's the deal, yeah. And it's similar to last week, but we're going to wear white, so fans, you wear white too.
All right, a whiteout Wednesday.
Yep, whiteout, wear white Wednesday.
Huge game coming up against South
Alabama. And then Senior Day Saturday. And then my favorite halftime of the year,
Yeah.
It was this past Saturday.
Special Olympics.
With the and this time was a little different twist because it's called a unified game. She had some students from Arkansas State who work with Special Olympians. They're called the Arkansas State Special Olympics College. Uh-huh. Those young people were working with the athletes who are in either the HAL or Atlas, couple transition programs on our campus. So, I mean, it was all people there on the A-State campus playing together. And then the crowd does such a awesome job with
that. They were into it.
Yeah, they make it so fun.
Obviously, the crowd was incredible for the game itself, but I was doing my regular thing at halftime, going over the first half numbers, and you hear in the background, it sounds like is no different than A-State and Troy were on the floor.
Yeah, and it's been that way. This is the third year in a row we've done it, and it's been like that every time. And those athletes love it so much, and our crowd does such a good job of lifting them up. Appreciate our crowd, but then those athletes for coming and making our day too. And then, you know, I'll shout out to had a group from Mountain Home come down, Mayor Hillary Adams.
Yeah.
And a group of folks from Mountain Home came, and right before tip, they presented a key to the city of Mountain Home, really to our basketball team. And Coach Hodson, Coach, came out and accepted that for the work our guys did back in May of going up and helping in Mountain Home after they had been hit by a couple of tornadoes.
Yeah, I remember them doing that. They just hopped on some buses and went up there and helped. And it was really, really cool to see Coach Hodson and the team get that kind of honor, and great to see the folks from Mountain Home make it for the game.
Yeah, good. They had a group there, several groups in for the weekend. Thank you, everybody. But, hey, you know, we've got two championships now we're going for this week, and it's a key now. And I'm talking about just on the men's side. We're trying to win two championships, as we were talking about earlier, the one on the floor and the one in the stands. And so hopefully our fans recognize how important they are to both of those.
We always appreciate you listening. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank.